So for the past couple of months, as the Kingdom Women know, we've been journeying through the book of Acts. And specifically in our June gathering, the Lord called the Kingdom Women to share the gospel with somebody. I mean, if you've ever read the book of Acts, and if you haven't, it is literally a book about the acts of the early church and the 12 apostles that the Lord had called. And so when you read about all the powerful miracles that they're doing, as we were reading that, the Lord touched my heart to share that we, as a group of women, were supposed to share the gospel with somebody. And this past July, a bunch of women reported back that they got an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, which I thought was so beautiful. But even before that last gathering in July, Pastor Tim preached a powerful message about what the kingdom is supposed to look like, right? And he stated that the kingdom is going to be comprised of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And so, if that's the case, as children of God, we are called to reach out to those people. We are called to share Jesus with the nations and our neighbors. And if you don't know, that was the name of Pastor Tim's message. But I'm feeling even more specifically that with these events, that the Lord is actually calling our church, you, me, Vineyard, Crystal Lake, to that mission. I believe that maybe we haven't been doing that enough in our own personal lives. I mean, if God is pressing on our hearts to talk about evangelizing more, then that means that is an area that maybe we all lack. And so, I feel like I kind of read your minds right now, and you're like, well, Christine, if I know what I'm supposed to do, but how exactly am I supposed to do that? Well, that's what we're going to get into today. All right, so let's pray, and we'll get into the Word. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that we get to be here in your presence with our fellow brothers and sisters. Holy Spirit, come. May your Spirit just have complete power over my words this morning. And may you move in the hearts of those listening today. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. All right, let's dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So if you don't know, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. I wrote both 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And it was a letter to a church that he had originally visited on his second missionary trip, and he was there for 18 months. And if you want to read about this missionary trip, you can in Acts 18. And when he first arrived, he met a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. They were from Italy, and they were his co-workers in the leatherworking field as well as ministry co-workers. So they went along with him as he shared the good news with the people of Corinth. When Paul arrived to Corinth, he spent every Sabbath in the synagogue. And he did this so that he could reason with the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. He did this up until the point that they started to oppose him and insult him. And so he shook the dust off of his feet from that and decided to take the good news to the Gentiles. And so the way he did this was, there was actually a man by the name of I hope I say this correctly, Titus Justus. He lived right by the synagogue, and Paul stayed at his house, and he would preach the gospel from his home. So Gentiles would come from all over Corinth to listen. And through Paul's obedience, many Jews and Gentiles were saved and baptized, including the leader of the synagogue that he was thrown out of. Now, at this time, in this period of time, Greeks were, they idolized human wisdom and knowledge. They wanted to obtain it, and they idolized the person who had it. And more specifically in Corinth, there were these people called sophists and orators. They would come and they would travel from city to city, and they would teach people the art of argument or rhetoric. They debated publicly, they delivered very impressive speeches, and they gathered followers when they did it. And they also earned money doing it. So we know that in this point of time, Greeks were highly fascinated by people who were very knowledgeable and wise. But oftentimes than not, these people who would come from town to town would say a whole lot without saying much at all. The wisdom that they had was earthly wisdom. It wasn't wisdom from God. And so when Paul came to Corinth, the Holy Spirit gave him a very specific plan on how to approach the Corinthians. He couldn't do it the way he was doing it before. Paul is a very intelligent and intellectual man. He knew all about the cultures that he was preaching to, and he knew his scripture front and back. He used to be a Pharisee, actually. So let's get into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. So we know that the Holy Spirit is going to... I'm sorry. Let me take a backtrack. We know that the Holy Spirit is giving him a different plan by these verses here. He says, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified." We'll skip ahead to verse 4. Oh, no? Okay, that's okay. Okay. "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." Paul knew his audience, and he knew that they wanted to be entertained, impressed even. But he made the active choice to throw out all knowledge and keep it strictly about Christ crucified. So, with us having the mission to share the gospel, my first tip to you is the message of Jesus is enough. Amen. In our human nature, we struggle so much talking to others with Jesus. And I believe some of the reasoning behind that is we think we don't know enough. We think we need to know about other religions. We think we need to know the Bible front and back. And we think we need to share our whole life stories with the people we're speaking to. And while these help, the gospel of Jesus is enough, and it has power. In the beginning of this book, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says this: "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power." See, it's not so much that the cross of Christ doesn't have power. It's more so that he said, "You know what? I'm going to shut out everything I know so that it could just focus on Jesus." The message of the cross is sufficient. It was sufficient enough to save you, and so it's sufficient enough to save the next person. We don't need to add anything to it, and we don't need to know anything other than the gospel. So now you're thinking, okay, well, I know my mission. I do know the message. But how, Christine, do you expect me to go up to someone? How do I overcome the fear that comes with that? So I actually just discovered myself that, did you know that Paul was afraid too? I mean, this man that we're talking about, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was imprisoned for the sake of gospel, and then he would get up and do it again. So in my mind, every time I would read this, I was like, this man surely has not a single fear, ounce of fear in him. But actually, he shares with us his weakness. In that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, he says this. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. In another point, in Acts 18, so this is while he's in Corinth, the Lord actually had to come to him and encourage him. He says this, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. That means what? That Paul was afraid. So he says, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. For I am with you. No one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. Paul was as human as any one of us. And I believe he could have been afraid for any number of reasons. One, I mean, by this point, he'd been abused a couple of times for the gospel. I imagine he didn't want to experience that again. Another reason could be that maybe the human nature in him actually wanted to rely on his own knowledge. Maybe he thought, well, I could easily persuade them. And so maybe he was afraid that he would be ridiculed for the plain and simple message of the cross. But whatever the case may be, he still obeyed. And so when fear is partnered with obedience, it actually teaches us to rely on God for the strength and the power to do what he's asking us to do. And I also want to point something out again. Can you pull up verse 10 again from 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Oh, actually, no, sorry, verse 10 here. For I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. There's a promise in that verse. He says, they will not attack and harm you because the people that you're going to belong to me. So if you're afraid, I want you to walk in the confidence that the person you're walking up to and sharing the gospel with already belongs to God. That you are not walking up to just anyone. You're walking up to someone that God loves dearly. That he is calling them by name. And so you're not just sharing Jesus with someone. You're actually introducing them to their creator. The one who wants a deep relationship with them. So, Paul had to have reason, even in his fear, that you know what? I'm going to these people because they belong to Jesus Christ. So I'm simply just introducing them who they belong to. I also read this amazing commentary as I was studying a scripture by G. Campbell Morgan. He said this, so great was his sense of weakness and fear, and so profound his lack of trust in himself that he quaked, he trembled. But those are the secrets of strength in all preaching. It is in fear that we can allow the Holy Spirit to move. My next tip to you as you go out and share the gospel with somebody is trust in that power of the Holy Spirit. See, Paul, before going in to Corinth, he had a strong conviction from the Holy Spirit how he was to relay his message, plain and strictly about Christ crucified. Let's look one more time at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. You guys are going to memorize it by the time we're out of here. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did he do this? I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Here, Paul contrasts divine wisdom with human wisdom, which we know is limited and flawed. To the Greeks, wisdom was highly valued. Have you ever heard of the philosophers Plato and Aristotle? Yeah, they were from the Greek they were Greeks, or might be Romans. But I know that they were highly valued between Greeks and Romans. And they were actually highly idolized. However, Paul emphasizes that human wisdom is actually insufficient for understanding the mysteries of God. The Corinthian church was situated in a city known for its intellectual and cultural achievements. So the Corinthian church needed this reminder to rely on the divine rather than human insight. God's power is demonstrated actually when we're preaching the gospel through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the cornerstone of our faith. And so if you're wondering, okay, where is the power in the message? It's in that Christ died for you, for your sins, but then the power is in the resurrection that brings us eternal life. This power is transformative. The power in this message is that it's transformative, and it enables us as believers to live out our faith in a way that human wisdom can't achieve. Another way that I believe the Holy Spirit, or a couple other ways that I believe the Holy Spirit worked in Paul's strategy to just preach the gospel is, one, like I said earlier, in the message of the cross. Two, in Paul's courage to share the good news despite his fear of man and despite not being able to rely on his own knowledge. Another way is in the hearts of the Corinthians. The Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. As they received the message, they decided to transform their lives, despite there not being the fancy rhetoric and persuasion and debate. And then lastly, in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit through signs and miracles. See, it's not stated explicitly, but I know, and you know, how the message of the cross works. Because Paul focused on that power, I believe this would have revealed unrepented sin. It would have revealed people who were demonized. It would have revealed areas of people's lives that needed healing. So this would have given Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila the opportunity to pray over people and see healing right before their eyes. So, as you go to share the gospel with somebody, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Rely that, one, he's giving you the strength. Rely, two, that he is working in the heart of the person. And rely, three, that he is going to tell you and guide you, okay, you see how this person is moving, I want you to pray in this way. Or I want you to act in this way. And he will do it. And so let's recap our tips for sharing the gospel. One, the gospel of Jesus is enough. So if you struggle with finding the words of how to share the gospel, I actually have a graphic for you. So the gospel can be looked at as an acronym. And I'm going to do my best to demonstrate it here for you guys, okay? So the first thing we want to share is that God created us to be with him. He created you to have a relationship with him and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when he created us, Adam and Eve, sin entered in. And it separated us from God. And that sin now, because of that one act through Adam and Eve, now carries on to us. We are born with that sin. And there is not a single good deed that can pay the price of that sin. There's no ounce of good that we can do that can remove the sin. But then Jesus, God, came down in human form, and because he is perfect, and he is holy, and he is good, he decided that he would take our sins and nail them to the cross so that we would not have to pay the price. And then 2 days later, he rose again. And there was power in that resurrection. See, I actually asked Daniel, I was like, and this might have been a silly question, I was like, why do we preach the resurrection in the gospel? And it's because the resurrection gives us hope for eternal life. See, that we know that if we nail our sins to the cross with Jesus, that now we can walk in new life. And that starts today. That you don't have to carry the chains of sin anymore. You can actually start walking eternal life now. You can experience new life now. And it lasts forever. That cannot be taken from you. So that is my rendition of the gospel. And it can be just as simple as sharing these points with somebody. And remember, our second tip is that fear keeps us from self-reliance and it leaves room for the Holy Spirit. So if you're afraid to share this message, it's okay. But still obey. Still obey and do what God is asking you to do. Because he's going to be with you. His power will be working through you, through the message, and in them. And so, and my last point was trust in that power. Trust that he will guide your steps. There is power in the message. There is power in the Holy Spirit. You have both. Those tools are easily accessible to you. So, I want to end with a prayer. If we could all stand as you are able. And I want to end today just praying over all of you. Praying that God would impart that power and authority on you. And that you would receive the Holy Spirit. If you have never received the Holy Spirit, this prayer is going to do that for you today, okay? And also, if you heard this message for the first time today, if you heard the gospel for the first time today, I want to pray over that too. If you believe in what I preached today, Lord, Father God, I just pray over every person here today. I pray for those who have received the gospel for the first time and that you have worked in their hearts to believe this message. If you are that person, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but you could pray along with me right now. Say, Lord, I accept this message. I believe that you died for me. I believe that my sins are nailed to the cross. And I want to walk in the freedom that you have given me. I want to walk in the new life that comes with the resurrection power. Lord, I pray for whoever prayed that prayer right now. And I just ask, Lord, that you would enter their hearts and that you would start your transformative power in them today. Lord, I pray for every single person here that you would impart your authority in them, that they would walk every day of their lives in authority and in confidence in what they believe. I pray for every person here that they would walk in knowledge that they have the Holy Spirit living in them and that they do not have to walk in fear, but in power. 1 Timothy says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind." And so I pray that there is somebody here that has been walking in fear, and I pray that Holy Spirit would just remove that fear right now, and that they would walk in full confidence that they are a child of God, that they have the Holy Spirit living in them, and they have the authority of Jesus living in them. I pray for every person here that you would give them the full confidence to share their belief with somebody, anybody who is willing to hear, that no fear would stop them from doing it. Lord, I pray that over myself, Lord. I pray that you would remove this fear in me, Lord, that I would share why I love you so much. Because everybody needs to know it. They need to know it. The nations and your neighbors, they need to know it. Because what happens if they don't know it is an eternal death. But Jesus offers eternal life. That is why I am preaching this. Because we are to have courage to share that anybody can have eternal life if they would just accept Jesus and believe that he loves them, that he nailed their sins to the cross, and that they do not live in bondage anymore. So Lord, just set us on fire. Set us on fire. Set us on fire so the world can watch us burn. So that we would be a light in this world and the salt of the earth. I'm going to read these words of knowledge.